Dr. Damon Friedman is a leader in special operations and a highly decorated officer in the United States Air Force. He originally received his commission in 2000 as a United States Marine Corps officer and later transferred into the Air Force as an elite special tactics officer. He has served 4 combat deployments to Iraq and Afghanistan in support of the global war on terrorism. His personal decorations include 3 Bronze Stars, a Meritorious Service Medal, 3 Commendation Medals, 3 Achievement Medals, and the Air Force Combat Action Medal. The Secretary of Defense recently presented Dr. Friedman with the Spirit of Hope Award for his work with SOF Missions,
a faith-based organization he founded to empower veterans struggling with life after combat.
Help me welcome this morning Dr. Damon Friedman back to Oak Creek Assembly of God. Welcome, my friend.
Thank you.
It's great to have you with us today.
Thank you very much. I appreciate
it.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. Thank you so much. Such an honor to be back again. Thank you. Oh, no. Come on, guys. Come on. No. Thank you. Please. Have a seat. Thank you very much. I really, really appreciate having the opportunity to come back here again to celebrate the independence of the United States of America, the greatest nation ever. Just to think, though, when we reflect 243 years ago, the character, the strength that was required from our forefathers, considering the odds were stacked against the colonists when the Brits were coming, who had the strongest army and navy that the world had ever seen at that point in time. And they were coming to the soil that we stand and love today. And the colonists knowing that the odds were totally just overwhelming, that the chances of victory were so small, they were so minute. But the reality is that they knew that the concept of a nation, one nation, under God was worth not just fighting for, but for dying for. And they looked at those Brits and they said, let's bring it. And somehow, some way, it was fearless and ferocious. It was gut-wrenching and it was bloody. Somehow, some way, they found victory. Somehow, some way, it was a miracle. And the question is, what happened? How did they win? Sheer grit. Oh, yeah. And the power of a relentless God. Amen? Amen. The reality is that as we look upon the 4th of July, we reflect on the American Revolution from the inception of our country, that the cost of freedom has cost us greatly. Do you know that we consider that every conflict since the beginning and the birth of our country, when we're talking about the American Revolution, the Civil War, World War I, World War II, the Korean War, Bosnia, post 9/11, Iraq, Afghanistan, the wars in between, and the wars that we've never even heard around. Over 1 million men and women have paid the ultimate sacrifice. I travel around the nation and I remind my brothers and sisters, patriots, that it was the shedding of blood, and still today, that costs freedom. Freedom isn't free. Do you hear what I'm saying? It comes at a cost. I'm telling you right now, I've served over 20 years. 20 years serving our nation. The longest conflict in American history. I have fought tyranny. I've stared it in the face. I know what extreme terrorism looks like. I know what it's like to get after it, deployment after deployment, Iraq, Afghanistan, over and over again, fighting an enemy that's not going to stop until America is dead. Do you hear what I'm saying? And I'm here to tell you that 20 years ago, when I joined the United States Marine Corps, any devil dogs in here? Woo! Hoorah! I like you, bro. I know my back's always, like, you got my back. I know you do. 20 years ago, When I signed on the bottom line and I took an oath, I raised my right hand and I said, I, Francis Damon Friedman, do solemnly swear to support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I bear true faith and allegiance to the same, all under the context of the last few words of that oath. And it says, so help me God. Here's the deal, and hear this. Right now, the enemy is conducting an all-out invasion against our country. He's using division to destroy us. Division within our families, division within our communities. Last time I checked, God is a respecter of no man, none at all. And the reality is that our allegiance should be God and to God alone. Do you hear me? God is calling each and every one of you, each and every one of you, to take a stand, to fight for what matters, to be world changers, to ignite a movement now more than ever. And I'm here to tell you, I've been around a little while, and in our country, if there's ever a time that you should be concerned, it's now. This is a war no. This is the reality. If you love your country, you're going to have to fight for it. You hear what I'm saying? And God instructs us and gives us the tools and the weapons necessary in order to close with and destroy the enemy. And you get it in the combat manual that God has provided. It's called the Bible. Okay. Man, I love America. Don't you? Whew. I love America. Last time when I was here, I had the distinct pleasure to share where I came from. And I decided to give you a little recap for those individuals that were not around. Now, as many of you know, and many of you don't know because you didn't make it last time, I have a twin. Don't be scared. All right? He's contained. We're never in the same city at the same time unless we have mayor approval. All right? Now, here's the deal. There's two of us there, and I have to ask you, ma'am, young lady, who's the cuter one? I need to know. That's my twin. Messed up. I'm the one on the left. Even though the one on the right's pretty cute, too. Ray and I, we were born and raised in downtown Los Angeles. We were raised in a melting pot in the projects. I was raised with African Americans, Koreans, Vietnamese, Puerto Ricans, Mexicans, Armenians. When I saw another person, I never saw the color of their skin. I just saw a human being. All right? And I judged that person by the base of their character. When I was growing up, I had my mother. She was a maid, worked 18 hours a day to put rice and beans food on the table, worked around the clock. I lived in 14 different places in the first 12 years of my life because we were running away from my biological father, who was extremely abusive psychologically, physically, spiritually. He hurt us. And because she was out there getting after it, making sure that her boys were getting fed, we were left alone. It was the price that she had to pay. And so we ended up hanging out with the wrong people, hanging out with people in the streets. And I became a loser. I was breaking and entering, and I ended up getting caught, and I was thrown into juvie. It's not that terrible story, though, because the reality is that when I was in juvie, it was there the first time ever that I heard the voice of God. I didn't know it was him. I just knew that I was sitting there and I was trying to figure out who I was. What's my identity? That there's got to be something more to life than all of this, the violence that was surrounding me. There's got to be more. And I heard the voice of God says, I have a purpose for you. I have a plan for you. And it was there that all of a sudden it illuminated my gift to run. And I ran for freedom. And it was in running that I became one of the top runners in the United States. It was running that gave me a scholarship. It was running where I ended up finishing off as one of the best runners that our nation, representing our country, going to the foreign lands. And then when I graduated, I looked at my mother and she said, "Don't you ever forget where you come from." And so I decided to pay back to my nation because my nation had been there for me. So I decided to join the United States Marine Corps, another hurrah. It's going to be a good message here, brother. And thinking about all that, all of a sudden then when I joined the Marine Corps, I crossed over into Special Operations. And it was there where I ended up becoming so consumed with myself. You see, every person has a sin in their life. Every person has a struggle. Every person in here has an issue that they're constantly struggling and battling with. Some people want to be rich. Some people want to be famous. Some people want a better job. Some people want other people's stuff. Some people want a new car. Some other people want a new job. I don't know. All I know is that I wanted you to look into the history books, and I wanted you to look at Foxtrot November. That's my operating initials. I wanted you to look at me and say, "I want to be just like this guy. This guy is bad to the bone." That's what I wanted, and that was my sin. And every night while I was out there getting after it, hunting down capture-kill missions of high-value targets, the most dangerous bad guys in Afghanistan, in Iraq, I pray for war. That's what I would pray for. Because I was hoping that I would have a mission of a lifetime, that it would define me so that everybody here could look at me and say, "He's proven." And it almost cost me my life. 7 days I was in a firefight surrounded by hundreds of Taliban, and it was there that God met me there once again. And it was there that I cried out to God and I said, "Lord," it's the first time that I surrendered in a way that I never surrendered before. I said, "If you will save me and all of my men, I will know that it's by your divine hand and I will serve you the rest of my days." And I was extracted out of that place. And then I knew that it was that God's hand was upon me. And it was there on that Black Hawk as I was coming home. And that's what this message is all about, the war at home. As I was on that Black Hawk, it was weird. You ever seen The Matrix? Raise your hand if you ever seen The Matrix. All right? Do you remember that time when Mr. Anderson is having a conversation with Morpheus, and he's like, "Here's the red pill. Here's the red pill. If you just take it, I'll show you. I'll show you the truth, and we'll go as deep as you want to go." And it was there. I took the red pill, and then all of a sudden, it was like I saw Mr. Anderson saw the Matrix for it was, because he was unplugged. I'm on that Black Hawk, and all of a sudden God reveals to me all of the filth in my life. Literally, I had made so many poor decisions. I was egomaniacal. And that's something that we all struggle with, some more than others. You have the ego, and you just keep feeding it, and you keep feeding it, and you keep feeding it. And before you know it, it's a consuming fire. And all you're doing is you're just feeding it over and over again. Before you know it, you've lived your whole life just feeding your own ego. And it was there that God said that you are egotistical. And whatever you've done wrong, I will make right. And he started showing me all the poor decisions that I had in my personal relationship with my wife and my personal life and in my career. And I was so disgusted with myself. I was disgusted with myself. I couldn't even handle it, but you know what? The God of the universe said, "If you will only hand these things off to me, I will take care of them. Wherever you feel you're broken, I will make you whole again. I will make you new if you will only surrender it all to me." When I came home, it was like a quick turn. I came from fighting a couple hundred Taliban, and then all of a sudden, I'm at home. I'm sitting there in front of my wife and my kids, and I'm questioning my purpose, and I had several traumatic brain injuries, mild TBI, and it's just basically concussions, where basically I had dropped so many bombs around our perimeter because the enemy was surrounding us that I had so many concussions that my head, literally my brain was like inflamed. I was throwing up. I felt nauseous. It was dizzy, and I was literally dealing with all sorts of post-traumatic stress, flashbacks, shame, guilt. It was just literally eating me up. And then all of a sudden, God started addressing different things, scars in my life. Let me tell you something. There are people here where they're close to them, maybe a family member, a father, a mother, brother, sister, an uncle or aunt, and they hurt you, and they hurt you bad. And they didn't just hurt you once, they hurt you multiple times. These were the people that were supposed to protect you. And instead, they violated your trust. And as I was sitting there, I'm back at home and I'm still hands shaking. I'm sitting there and I'm looking at my alcoholic beverage. I had multiple that evening and I'm just sitting there reflecting. I almost died. I mean, this time I almost literally died. And the God of the universe just showed up. He conducted a quick reaction force. He conducted the greatest saving mission that I had ever seen and known. And he extracted me out of that ambush, out of that kill zone. And he saved not only my life, but my soul. And I'm sitting there, I'm looking at my drink, and all of a sudden I remember, I'm 11 years old, and I'm staying with my biological father. It's just recently that my mom, she's been hearing some of my messages, and she came out crying one day. She came to my house, just to herself, and she was just weeping. She said, there's just so much that we have to talk about that I just buried, and it was a great time of healing and reconciliation, you know, and redemption. To see her son make it out. I'm sitting there, and she said that, you know, you never spent much time with your biological father, but it seems, you know, the times that you did, he scarred you, and he scarred you bad. It hurt us. I'm sitting there, and I'm drinking, and all of a sudden, I'm thinking, I'm coming, and I'm knocking on the door. I open up the door, and I'm visiting my biological father, and there he is in a dark room, two-bedroom apartment. He has his office in one room. And wherever he's at, that's where the light is. And he's sitting there in the corner, and I open up the door, and he said, come here, son. And I was shaking, and I knew it was weird. It was that, you know, that negative energy, that evil. And I'm thinking, and I started shaking. He said, close the door. I closed the door. He said, come here. And he was drunk. He was high. He was in a bad mood, and I knew it was going to be a bad time. And I remember he says, come here. And so I walk. I'm walking towards my biological father, and he's in the corner right on the counter, and there he is with his Kahlua and his milk, and he's drinking, and he grabbed another cup, and he grabbed the Kahlua, he put it into the cup, some milk, put it in the cup, he kind of stirs it, and then he hands it to me. He said, son, today you're a man, drink up. I was 11 years old, it was my birthday. I remember, as we were staying with him, he'd throw a little mattress out in the kitchen, and that's where I would sleep on the floor. And he thought he was being gracious to us because he gave us a mattress. And then there was one day, specifically when I was sick, I had phlegm coming all over the place, and he wanted to be merciful. So he invited me to sleep on his bed so that I could sleep on a real bed. And in the morning, early dark morning, I wake up with him punching me in the face. You know why? Because I was snoring. I was keeping him up. There I am, and I'm drinking my drink now, and I'm thinking about all that time, and my Father in heaven is speaking to me. He said, I've called you by name, Damon. I told you that you have a purpose. I have a plan for you. And he's now just sifting through all the scars. He's fleshing things out, and I'm literally just addressing it. God is addressing them with me. You see, the enemy is always going to have you look at the irreparable past, but the God of the future wants you to look at the invincible future with him. Do you hear what I just said? Because the enemy wants me to feel like I'm a victim. The enemy wants to tell me that I'm broken. The enemy wants to say that I'm useless. That because that happened, I can't do whatever it is that God's called me to do. The enemy's going to say and do everything and anything to keep you from hearing God, from seeing God, being a part of the kingdom. And I'm sitting there, and God is speaking to me. And I'm sitting there, and I'm drinking, and God is speaking, and he's saying, whose voice will you listen to? 7.6 billion people in the whole world, and I've called you by name. And I'm sitting there, and that night, I just remember I had a rage, and I was kicking through doors and punching through walls, and my wife looked at me, and she said, Damon, you have a problem, and I'm going to tell you right now, she's like non-confrontational. You have issues, but it was kind of like all this stuff was coming out. It was like all this stuff that I was burying and I was hiding, and God wants us to address whatever it is that's keeping us from being everything that God's called us to be. The biggest problem that we as Christians do is that we lie to ourselves. We say we're okay, and sometimes you just got to get whatever sin is holding you bondage, and you got to bring it before the Lord, and you just got to say, Lord, I don't have the strength to deal with this, so I'm giving it to you. Did you hear that? That night, as God was just working in and through me, just fleshing everything out, I remember that I went to sleep. And I was taken back to a place called Sinjar. It's on the border of Iraq and Syria. And I remember that during that deployment, I was frothing at the mouth. I was trying to find this bad guy by the name of AJH, who was responsible for putting bombs in schools. He figured the way that he would instill fear is to take away the next generation, to blow them up. Everybody was scared of this guy. And I'm telling you, my team and our special operations team, we wanted to find this guy and we wanted to take him out. And I remember on a particular day, we were on a desert operation and we're looking for AJH. And then all of a sudden, on the net, it pops up. AJH rears his ugly head, and what he did, he outmaneuvered us and he ended up putting a bomb in a marketplace. 15 killed, 150 maimed. We responded as fast as we could, going down to the city, and as we got closer, you could just see the mayhem that was going around. You could see all of this chaos. People were running and screaming and crying, and literally it was so difficult to get to the hospital. And I remember mothers carrying their dead sons, fathers dragging their children, and they're bleeding to death, and they're trying to get to the hospital. He was so crazy. And just to think that what kind of a human being would put such a bomb in a school? He'd go to villages and kidnap these kids and then he'd hang them. That's terrorism. That's extreme terrorism. The enemy's going to do everything he can to put fear in you so that you won't even move. But the God of the universe gives you the strength and the power to take a stand. Do you hear what I'm saying? God wants us to fight. God gives us the weapons and the war manual. In the Bible, you have the strategy, you have the operations, you have the tactics. He tells you exactly what you must do in order to maneuver against the enemy. I remember that when I woke up from that nightmare, I remember that one part where we ended up having to maneuver around and we had to go through the back. And when we went into the hospital, I could smell literally the stench of blood. I walked in and it was low and light. And then all of a sudden, I was reminded about my biological father. There was so much pain. There was so much anger. There was so much bitterness. There was so much chaos. And I all of a sudden, like the walls started reverberating, like they literally vibrated. And then I woke up sweating profusely. And then I heard a voice. And that voice said, and it was darkness. He said, all you have to do is kill yourself. You take the pain away. You don't have to deal with this anymore. You've done your battle. Why deal with this any longer? But then all of a sudden, in that darkness, the light showed up, and the God of the universe says, I've called you by name, Damon. I have given you a particular purpose, and I have a plan. And I'm going to give you a mission to go change the world if you will only trust me. If you only believe in me, if you will only come to me and surrender everything and anything that's holding you back. And it was there where I made that conscious decision. I said, you know what? The enemy's going to do everything that he possibly can to keep me from God. And at that point in time, there was a war for my soul. And like today, every single day, there's a war for your soul. Each and every person here. And we are ignorant to think otherwise. Did you hear what I just said? Because the enemy's doing a phenomenal job in neutralizing the church. Did you hear what I just said? Now more than ever, if there was a time to be worried about our nation, it is today, right here, right now. Because the enemy is active, he's open, and he's declared. But at the end of the day, God is sovereign and he's all in control. But do you trust him? Are you willing to take a stand for something that's not just worth fighting for, but worth dying for? In the midst of all this, I realized that God said, you need to go back to training. I'm going to train you to be the warrior that I've called you to be. And so I went back to Ranger School. Anybody here ever gone to Ranger School? Come on, I know somebody's gluttony for punishment. There you go. Rangers, lead the way. There you go. Thank you, brother. You don't understand that. Sorry, that was a little bit weird. RTL, listen, I'm sitting there at Ranger School, over 60 days long, and I'm telling you, patrolling all over the place with a big rucksack on your back. And there's a time when you're traveling, and you're on foot, and you're patrolling, there's a time where they do a map and compass check. When you do a map and compass check, what happens is the whole team stops, right? You go onto the outside of the perimeter, you take a knee, you face outboard, you're looking around, you keep your head on a swivel, you're looking for any type of enemy activity, and then you grab some water, you drink some water. Face outboard, take a knee, drink some water. And then what happens is the team leader goes inside the patrol. Right? If you ever saw Band of Brothers, you would know what I'm talking about. Team leader goes inside, map and compass, and what happens is the map guy opens it up, the team leader's looking at, and you know what? He's looking. Okay, that's an obstruction. Yep, that's where I'm supposed to be. There's the body of water. Yep, there it is. There's a four-way intersection. I know exactly where I'm at. And that's a good feeling. That means that you're on the right azimuth. But do you know what kind of feeling you get when all of a sudden you do a map and compass check and you sit there and go, there's a building in front here. And what's that water over there? I think we're lost, boss. That is the worst feeling in the whole world. But here's the cool thing about it. When you do a map and compass check, that's an opportunity to shoot a new azimuth. To sit there and figure out, where exactly am I? Am I in the right place? As you're navigating this thing called life, when's the last time you did a map and compass check? Because the reality is that we could do a map and compass check at any single time. You go in, you figure out this is not where you're supposed to be, and many a times we find ourselves in the wrong place at the wrong time. And all you have to do is a trajectory check, and you could shoot a new azimuth. And that's how awesome God is. How many of us need to shoot a new azimuth? You know what I'm talking about. You're doing a map and compass check, and you're in the wrong place at the wrong time, and you know you've got to do something. The worst thing that you could possibly do is lie to yourself and say everything is all okay, and you maintain the azimuth that you have. And I'm sitting there, and I'm going back, and I'm listening, and I'm training right back. And all of a sudden, 1 Timothy 6:12 says, fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called. In Nehemiah 4:14, it says, remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers, fight for your sons, fight for your daughters, fight for your wives, and fight for your homes. Let me ask you something. How are you doing fighting for the things that God has called us to fight for? Seriously. How's your calling going? Because God is a God of war. From Genesis to Revelation, from the very beginning, from the whole conception of this whole world, there was a war, and it was against evil. Evil is slithering its way in, and God is saying, I'm going to destroy you. And God is calling each and every one of us to be world changers, to be a part of the movement. Right now, America needs hope. Right now, you're going to go through those doors, and there's more hatred than I had ever seen in the years that I've been on this earth. Right here, right now. So, after I went through my ranger training with God, I ended up going into isolation. And in isolation, it's not like a bad thing in the military. What it is with the military is you kind of go in, and you get this mission from your boss, from the commander. He says, this is the objective. And you sit there, you grab all of your teammates, and then you sit there and you figure out, okay, this is how we're going to maneuver. This is what we're going to hit. These are the targets. These are the weapons that we're going to use. And then once you figure it out, then everybody gets out of isolation. And usually you're there for a couple days to a week because you got to come up with a plan of attack that's really going to be successful. You know, whenever you go to isolation, the wives are all like, okay, we'll see you later. I guess we'll have a girls' night out and we'll spend all your money and you won't even worry about it. It's okay. We'll take care of it. I won't get into that. I don't want to get into trouble. And it was there on my redeployment as all of my other friends in special operations were doing scandalous things or wasting their time doing whatever it is that they were doing. I'm in Afghanistan and I'm sitting there having a quiet time with God. And it was there where he spoke to me again. You see, here's the deal. At the end of the day, I just want to be used. And I remember that time when I spoke to him. I said, God, what must I do to be used by you in an extraordinary way? What must I do to be a man of valor? And he said, and he spoke again, he said, read my book. I'm like, I am reading it. He goes, no. You got to take it to the next level. You can't be flipping the pages. I want you to consume my word of God. You must eat this up. And it was there, and I remember that I was in Afghanistan in 2012, and I read through the entire Bible in 3 months. In the evening, I would read 10 to 15 chapters, and then in the morning, I would read all the commentary. I'm not saying that to boast. I'm saying that I was hungry. I was hungry, and I wanted God to empower me. I didn't want to be like anybody else in the whole world. I switched from me wanting you to read about me in the history books to wanting to be a man like Paul and a man like King David and a man like Elijah so that other people that when I'm dead and gone would reflect on the things that I did on this earth and it would have nothing to do with the accolades or the actions in combat, but it would be all about how I changed the world for good for the sake of Christ. So I read the war manual. Everybody's always trying to figure out, what do I do next? The war manual tells you the whole story. The war manual tells you what the enemy is doing and how the enemy is infiltrating behind your friendly force to take you out, to take your family, to take our communities, to take our nation. We can make a stand, but in that same war manual, it teaches you how to arm yourself and how to train and how to be a force to be reckoned with. That together we're an unstoppable force for good. It's in that war manual, and I remember distinctly in Afghanistan, and it was one night when I got into Isaiah 43, verse 1, and it was there as God was fleshing out all of the trash in my soul, all of my bad memories, everything my biological father ever did, all the poor decision making. I was ashamed of myself. I said, God, how could you use me? He said, with much sin, there's much forgiveness. And there just comes a time when you finally just let it go. You say, I'm gonna let it go, I'm gonna surrender it. But there's just a time when you finally, you're just broken. And you just say, God, here I am. Send me. And on that evening, something happened. The Holy Spirit fell upon me. It was something I'd never, ever experienced. I read about it. In the Bible, people have talked about it. And I remember how God just empowered me. Like, the Holy Spirit was in me, but it was different. It was like wah, wah, wah. You know what I mean? It was like the walls were shaking. I don't know what happened that evening. It felt like an earthquake. It felt like a tsunami. It felt like a hurricane. It was crazy. I was obviously the only one that was feeling it and experiencing it because literally it shook me. I walked outside of my hooch and I'm wondering, did anybody see that? Did anybody hear this? And people were like, what's going on, FN? I'm like, nothing. I'll go later. What happened is that I had a moment with God. And when I went to sleep that night, I woke up in the morning and I ran to talk to a good friend of mine. And we were studying the Bible together. And I remember specifically how he and I were talking and then all of a sudden we were in this MWR tent. And in the MWR tent, there's like it's air conditioning. It's got Gatorade and it has Kit Kats and chocolate deliciousness and video games and magazines. It's a place for some of the soldiers, you know, to go in and rest and get out of that 150-degree crazy weather. And I'm sitting there and I'm talking to him, and then all of a sudden I felt the Holy Spirit move in and through me. And I had to take a pause, and then all of a sudden somebody walked on in. And when that person walked in, everything stood still. He walks over. We're both looking at him. He probably thought we were stalking him, but that's okay. He goes to the fridge. He opens up the fridge. He takes out the Gatorade. It was blue. Takes off the orange cap, and he just starts drinking. He's just literally guzzling it down. He's like, look, look, look. He drinks half of the Gatorade. And then he stops. He's like, ah. And I looked at him, and I said probably what I think is the dumbest thing that any human could possibly say. And I looked at him, and I was just staring him in the eye. And all of a sudden, these words came out of my mouth. I said, if I were to offer you water where you would never thirst again, would you take it? He looks at me. He looks at my friend. And all of a sudden, it's really awkward. It's like silence for like 45 seconds. It was like the good, the bad, and the ugly. You know what I'm saying? In the spaghetti western, right? Like, I didn't know who the good and the bad was, but I sure was not the ugly, okay? And I could literally hear it from the background. I was like, wah, 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 wah. He's looking at me, I'm looking at him, I'm looking at my friend, my friend's looking at me, and then all of a sudden, something really awkward and very surprising happened. He said, yeah, yeah, I take it. And it was there that the war began for one soul. One soul for 3 hours. For 3 hours, we talked about God. For 3 hours, he would ask a question and I would have the answer. For 3 hours, over and over again. But here's the crazy thing. It was so wild because I was actually reading the questions and providing the answers just from the previous other nights. Like, I was literally like, God had prepared me for such a time as that. So that a person... hey, all I just want to do is be used. In God's timing, whenever he calls me, I want to be able to answer that call. Do you? This guy comes in, I don't even know him from Adam. I find out he's in the Navy, he's a linguist, and he is working in a classified unit. And he's walking in, and he just wants to drink some Gatorade. And now he's being attacked by a Puerto Rican Jewish special operator. And I'm bringing the fire like Elijah, okay? 3 hours we're talking to him. 3 hours, and I see my buddy. He's not saying a word either. I'm like, come on, help me out. He's just like in the corner, like little Barnabas. He's just praying. So I'm center stage, and I'm like, Lord, Heavenly Father, please give me the words that I need to say because I have no idea what I'm talking about. He'd ask a question. I just provide an answer, and round we went. And at the end of the third hour, this is what happened. I finished off with this. I knew I had to get going. They're calling me. FN, they're calling you. You got to go back out on mission. And I remember just sitting there. And I said, look, I got to go. But I want to just share one thing with you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. You know why I said that? I said that because, and at that time, I had memorized that verse because I was in such dire need of peace. I needed God's shalom. I needed Yahweh's shalom. I was so desperate for peace. How many of you are looking for peace today? That individual right now, that guy, when I walked in and I talked to him and I said that verse, all of a sudden he did one of these, like, whoa, what's going on? Like, literally, it was so weird. It was so awkward. He's like, wait, hold on a second. Where did you get that? Who told you that? And all of a sudden, it was like, what do you mean? He goes, well, where'd that come from? What is that? And I said, that's from the book of Numbers in the 6th chapter. He goes, do you know that my mom used to tell me that every single night as I was a child to put me to sleep? Every night. And then finally I said, give me one good reason why you would not give your life to the Lord right here, right now. And there it was. He said, I give you my life. Here I am. Send me. Hey, listen, that was one soul. 7.6 billion people in the whole world. And the heavens were all fighting for that one soul. One soul! And as much as God loves that one soul, he loves you just as much. And all the other people out there, I want to tell you something. It says in 2 Timothy 4:7, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. What are you fighting for? In that deployment, when I experienced the first salvation, I felt so unworthy that I could be an instrument of God. And that literally... that my life and this individual's, it was an intersection, and literally there was a trajectory check in his life, and he said, I'm headed that way, but today, I'm headed that way. This is my new future. The enemy's always going to do everything he can to stop you fulfilling your ultimate purpose in the kingdom. What are you fighting for? Again, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. It is our arrogance that each and every one of us will think that we're going to walk through those doors and we're going to have the rest of the day to live out. We don't know when it is the last day. I'm here to tell you, in my line of work, people are always dying. They die. Either they're killed in action, or God forbid that these individuals would go out and they were men of action, men of valor, dodging rocket-propelled grenades, surviving IEDs, coming home, and only to survive the war, but really ultimately for the war to take them, and they would commit suicide. These were my brothers that I fought with and bled with together, that somehow, some way, they felt, they listened to the darkness, that it was better to take your life so that you don't have to deal with the pain anymore, when the God of the universe wanted to shed light. What are you fighting for? What are you fighting for? You don't know when it's the last day. I've dealt with the killed in action. I've dealt with suicide. I've dealt with my young Padawan like a son to me, 25-year-old kid who is a special operator, who's a physical machine. 25 years old, he was the future of our community. I get a phone call one day, he's got stomach cancer. A few months later, he's dead. You don't know. One day, a good friend of mine is, I'm sitting there and I'm talking to him about God. The next day, I find out that he's killed from a drunk driver. You think that you're going to walk through those doors and you have the rest of your life to live out? It is our arrogance. I'm here to tell you something. You have a breath in each and every one of you. My question is what are you fighting for? What are you fighting for? What is your legacy? God wants to use you as a world changer. 243 years ago, brave men and women lined up toe-to-toe against the most powerful enemy in the world, toe-to-toe. And when they thought that even if they had no chance at all, that the God of the universe would bring salvation not only to their souls but to this nation, what are you fighting for? What is your legacy? When you're dead and gone, what are they going to say about you? Because if you're too busy trying to stack up all your treasures on this earth, it just blows my mind how hard people actually work, make all this money only to die and give it away. I'm going to close with this, the Cornell study on the dying, on the regret. Listen to this. Hear me out. When somebody's about to pass away, they're going to tell you the most important and intimate things in their life. Trust me on this. They're going to share what is the most important thing down from the core of their soul. And I'm here to tell you, they're not going to tell you how much money that they made and they're really glad about it. They're not going to tell you that they had an amazing empire and that's going to be the last words on this earth. He's not. She's not. I assure you, I've been there. I have been in the hands of people, young and old, in the last days, and they don't talk about all that stuff. They talk about love. They talk about friendships. They talk about family. They talk about the very things that Cornell study said. They're going into the hospice. They're talking to people of all different ages as the last couple of days of their life, and they're sharing what's most important. And this is what three major takeaways were. One, I wish I didn't work so hard trying to make money. You keep reading, it says all they did is like all I felt like I ever did was work, 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 work. Because I was always chasing retirement. I was always chasing a bigger check. I was always chasing to have another car or a bigger home or to give my son this or my daughter that. That was a regret. The second one, listen, I wish I spent more time with the people that I love and the people that love me. You hear that? And lastly, because they're about to meet their maker. They're about to go to the other side. I wish that I spent more time trying to figure out who God is and my ultimate purpose. Don't let that be you. Don't live your whole life and be in regret. I was talking to a gentleman in the last service, and he's an older feller. And there's not much time for him. And he came crying to me. He held my hand. He said, I'm so grateful that you came here because I needed an ignition. I needed something. I don't have much more time. And sometimes I feel like there's no point. And I grabbed him by the hand and I said, that's the enemy lying to you. Because while you still have a breath in your body, you can go out there and you can change the world by making one life-changing action. One. Do you hear what I said? He says, I don't have a gift. God can't use me. That's a lie, because when God fashioned you and he crafted you, he made you unique. He gave you the weapon that you need, and he gave you the superpower to change the world for good. And I'm going to tell you one last thing, that the more that you hear those words, I can't be used, I have no gift, it's a lie. It's the lie of the ages, and it's a weapon from the enemy. You have to look at the enemy in the face and say, Lord, Heavenly Father, identify this gift. Help me to be a superpower and use me as a weapon of mass destruction. Everyone here has a superpower. Everybody. On the Avengers team, not anybody has the same power. And I looked at him. He's an old feller. I was like, do you know the Avengers? Yes. Figure out which one you are. You hear me? God wants to use each and every one of you. Don't allow the enemy to lie to you any longer. God needs to use you today, right here, right now. The world is riddled with anger, hatred, and chaos. Today, you make a stand. Today, you fight what's worth. You fight for the Christ of the universe. You fight for God. You fight for those individuals that are lost. You go out there and you become a world changer. Together, we're an unstoppable force for good. Godspeed. Love you all. Thank you so much.